Das müsste direkt langes her.
Jotzi Soba.
I'd like to discuss a mitzvah which most of us, if not all of us, do. Usually every day, some people do it twice a day, some people maybe three times a day. A mitzvah of last week's parsha, Parshas Ekev, the mitzvah of Birkas Hamazon. A mitzvah deraisa. Not so many mitzvahs deraisas around. There are, but this is a mitzvah deraisa which is very fixed, which is done usually kamat every day. Every day, a Yid once came to the Chazanish and was discussing a psalocha de kishayle. And in the middle, he blurted out this Yid who was asking. He said, "No, it's only drabanan we're talking about. Only mitzvah drabanan." So the Chazanish got very shaken up, and he said, "The mitzvah drabanan. You know, most of the things we do in the day, most of the things we are busy with are drabanans. Not something to machavek, not something to be mezalzlin. Most kashrus shalos are drabanans. Most of the chol of the rice is very hard to get to if you cook animal meat, cook it together. Most davening is drabanan. Maybe the idea that you have to daven is the rice, maybe machik is shonim. But the nusach is zichet drabanan. Broches are zichet kmat all drabanan. Most zichet shabbos we are busy with. Muktzen, most adam eloches are usually drabanan. We're busy very, very much with drabanan. Here we have a mitzvah deraisa which falls into our lap every single day. There are more deraisas, tefillin, tzitzis, and other deraisas. But this is a mitzvah deraisa which we do every day anyway, kmat every day. So it's an opportunity now that it was this parasha, Parasha Zekev, to discuss a little bit the structure of the brocha, and maybe as we go along, some of the halachas of the brocha of Birkas Hamazon. This alone, the fact that it's a deraisa, that's a mitzvah deraisa, as the pasuk says, v'chalto, v'savato, v'rachto. V'chalto is not a mitzvah deraisa, even though some people might think it is. The v'savato is not yet a mitzvah deraisa. The v'rachto, that's where the mitzvah deraisa comes in. After eating and being satisfied, there's a mitzvah in the pasuk to make a broche. Because of that, if one is in doubt, if you have a sofi, you can't remember whether you benched. You had this suda which took a long time, Echvei, sitting by chasna, and you had in mind to bench early, and you can't remember whether you did it or not. Can happen. A person is not sure whether he's benched yet or not. He has to bench again, because the rule is sofik, the irais, lechumra, if he's satisfied. Because the person says, v'savoto. If he just said,
thinks it's maybe after
Knesset. Yeah, there's nachashal. Okay, we'll come to that later. But even there, it could be sofik, the irais. I think this, you have to bench, sofik, the irais, lechumra, yeah. Even on that. Even if you go sofik, we'll come to that later. Even if you go sofik, if it's passed, you still have to bench. So sofik deraisa lechumra, if you had very little, not. But if you had sheer svir, v'chalto v'savato, chiv deraisa, even though it's sofik, you have to bench again. Even on amichyom, and sholish, the machlek is in rishon, whether it's deraisa, because the pasuk beforehand, before v'chalto v'savato v'rachto, the pasuk talks about the shivas aminim. And shivas aminim, so the shayla is, does the v'chalto v'savato go back just on the chita sa'oira, on the bread part, or does it go back on all the shivas aminim? It could even be that alamichio is the right. So that's where the machlekes rishonim. But the first is definitely only drabanan. But Birkas Hamazon is zicha a deraisa, and therefore sofik deraisa lechumrah has other chumras in it. Birkas Hamazon, the Shulchan Aruch has an expression that Birkas Hamazon is like shmone esre. He's trying to say that it is more severe, more chomer than kirashma even. It has chumras above kirashma. One of the examples is that Kirishma, if you're in the middle of Kirishma and you hear a certain bruche, omen yishmerab, and certain things, baruchu, you can answer. In the middle of Kirishma, whereas in the middle of Shmineser, obviously not. What about the middle of Birkas Hamazon? So Shechnoch says Birkas Hamazon has a status of Shmineser. And one can't answer, according to most poskim, even between the two bruches. In the middle of a bruche, zichar not, but even between two bruches, according to many poskim, you can't answer any omens. The only omen you can answer in Birkas Hamazon is the omen on that bruche you just finished. If the mezamen, the one who's mentioning Zimun, he's finishing also. That's what you say omen on. But nothing else, one can answer omen. The reason why Birkas Hamazon is so severe explains the Mishavura. Kirishma is also the rise. So why is Birkas Hamazon more than Kirishma? Explains the Mishavura because Birkas Hamazon has to be said sitting on the place where you ate, not walking around. Just like Shemana Esra, where you stay in one place, whereas Kriyas Shema, theoretically one could say walking, not the first few psukim, okay, till Alev Avecha, not, but Shema Yisrael, and till Alev Avecha, one should be standing in one place, but the rest of Shema, one could say once whilst walking, whereas Birkas Hamazon should be set sitting. That's the guess, sometimes the holidays, a person eats all kind of matzavim. One has to sit whilst big samozin. The only time you can stand, the only time you can walk while saying big samozin is if you ate whilst walking. I actually had this once. We were once walking in a mountain where we got lost, and we couldn't find a way. We hadn't seen a person, a live person. I think for a good few hours, it was here in a peak somewhere. And we're so desperate to get down, you know, before it gets dark, that I was there with a friend, that we ate whilst walking. We actually ate. We didn't want to lose the time for sitting down to walk, so we ate whilst walking. In that case, you're allowed to even bench whilst walking. That's an unusual case. Usually, one has to stay on the place whilst benching, so it has the severity of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay. Afterwards, this time, we'll come back to some of the halachas. We'd like to discuss the structure of Birkas Hamazon. How did Chazal put together these various brachas? What's going on here? What are all these various things we mention here? So, okay, let's start from the beginning. Let's go through first what the Gemara says. The Gemara says like this. There are four brachas in Birkas Hamazon. The first bracha is called the Birkas Hazon. Moshe Rabbeinu made that bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu put together the first bracha of Birkas Hazon when the Yidden ate the mon. Interesting, we usually talk about the mon, when we talk about brachas, we talk about what bracha Rishoyna did they make. Yeah, did they make Hamotze Lechem and Oretz on the mon? It's not Lechem, it's not Oretz, did they make? Oh, so the Bnei Sosra says somewhere that maybe they made Hamotze Lechem and Hashemayim. Maybe they made Shakil Nibidvoroi. Okay, various suggestions. What bracha Rishoyne they made? But what bracha Achroyne did they make on the man? Klegemon brachas. They made Birkas Hazon. Moshe Rabbeinu put together the first bracha, not on bread, rather on man. Afterwards, when bread became the main food, then Chazal put it over for bread, not for other foods, for bread, for the main food, just like the man was the main food. So Birkas Hazon was made by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. The second bracha is Birkas Ha'oretz. The second bracha says the Gemara in Brachas from Chesson Beis. Yeshua made when the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael. That's why it talks a lot about Eretz Yisrael. Noyde lechoran shechalta avseinu eretz chemdetev v'chovo. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He brought us to Eretz Yisrael. All goes on about Eretz Yisrael. Baruch atu Hashem al Ha'oretz v'al Ha'mozon. Talks a lot about Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua put together that bracha when they went into Eretz Yisrael. Again, definitely the bracha is a deiraisa. The pasuk itself says, v'ochalto v'sovoto, uverachtes Hashem alekecha on what? Al Ha'oretz ha'tovah. It's in the pasuk already. Long before Yeshua, well not long, but before Yeshua, that you have to make a bracha about Eretz Yisrael. What Yeshua did was the nusach, the wording, the structure he put together when the Eden went. Before that, you could say anything. Any praise about the food, any praise about Eretz Yisrael, that is enough for the deiraisa. Yeshua put together the nusach of the second bracha about Eretz Yisrael. Now people sometimes think that Noide is one bracha and Al HaKoil is another bracha. That is because the printer split that into two. He put Al HaKoil here in thick letters. You know, Al HaKoil always starts again as if it's a new beginning. It's not so. Al HaKoil is part of Noide Lecho. The reason why it's split is because Ananisim is there in the middle. If and when we say Ananisim, Chanukah Purim, Ananisim is there in the middle. Why is Ananisim in the middle of the second bracha? Because Noide Lecho is a thanks, is a Noide Hoidor. Alanisim is also a Hoidor. Alanisim, Alapurka, it's all about Hoidor. It's not a Tefillah, Alanisim. It's a thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim, so it belongs in that bracha. But really, this is all one long bracha from Noide Til, Valakoel Til, Baruch HaTo Hashem, Alonz Alamazon, is all the second bracha, Birkas Ha'oretz. The third bracha, says the Gemara, was written by David and Shloime. David HaMelech wrote about Yerushalayim and Tzion. He didn't have the Beis HaMikdash yet, so he didn't talk about the Beis HaMikdash yet. Shlomo HaMelech, his son, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, added all about the Beis HaMikdash. All about the Beis HaMikdash. That was written by David and Shlomo. That's the third bracha. And again, this is one bracha till after Uvnei, Baruch Ato Hashem, Baalim Rachma, Yerushalayim, Amen. It's all one bracha. Even though Uvnei is written with thick letters, looks like a new beginning, the printer is to blame again. And he split into two, because Yalav Yoven Ritzei. If you say Yalav Yoven Ritzei goes there in the middle, why is Yalav Yoven Ritzei there? Why is Alanisim before and Yalav Yoven here? Because Shabbos and Yontif and Rish Chodesh, there was a Kolben. Chanukah Purim, there's no Kolben. Not in the Torah. So that Chanukah Purim is a Hedor, is a thank you, it belongs in the Bruch of thank you of Noide. Whereas Shabbos and Yontif and Rish Chodesh, there's a special Kolben, the times of Beis HaMikdash. So it belongs in the Bruch of Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's there in the third Bruch. That's part of the third bracha. Yeah, okay, that's not so clear. The Abbe says Uvnei is a hoive. Keep on building it, maybe. I'm not sure. Could be it was changed afterwards. Could be the Nusach, but in Shlomo's time was a bit different. I think someone says that. Sorry? Yeah, but he's saying the Nusach of Nei Shlomo is odd if the Bismarck is standing now. So it could be slightly different then. The same idea, but slightly different wording. But that's all one bracha. Rutzei Alevev is in the middle there because there's a kolb, so it belongs in the bracha of Beis Hamikdash. It's all one long bracha about Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash. That's the third bracha. Till here is the Eraisa. Not the wording, the idea. Meaning you have to mention something about the food, something about it, so something about Yerushalayim. Minatere, the wording was made by Moshe, by Yeshua, by David and Shlomo. From here onwards was added quite a bit afterwards. The next bracha, the fourth bracha, is only the Rabbanon. That was added by the Chachomim after Churban Bayis Sheni, less than 2,000 years ago. Good, long time after the first three brachas were made, Minatere. And Chachomim added that on a certain occasion, not a happy occasion, but in a certain happening when. What was happening? Okay, when Haruge Beita, which means that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was a tragedy in Beita, a lot of Yidden got killed, we'll discuss it more in detail later on, and they were lying around for a long time, they weren't allowed to bury them, the Romans killed a lot of Yidden there, and they didn't even allow them to bury them. When they finally came to Kvure, then Chachamim made a bracha, we'll discuss later on more in detail, Chachamim made a bracha about 2 points. Number one, that they finally came to bury, Chesed Hashem, finally the Gzeir was bottled, and number two, that the bodies were left whole, they didn't disintegrate, Hatoiv, V'hameitiv, hatoiv shle esrichu v'hameitiv shenitnu likvure, that finally these two things happened. They were given to burial and they didn't disintegrate. And that's the fourth bracha. Hamelech hatoiv v'hameitiv lakoil. On these two words, hatoiv v'hameitiv, hamelech hatoiv v'hameitiv lakoil, hatoiv v'hameitiv, this bracha is called hatoiv v'hameitiv. That's the fourth bracha. It was written much later by the Chachomim in Yavne, Rav Gamliel, v'chaver of they wrote this bracha in Yavne. Yeah, we'll come to that soon. That's one of the points we'll discuss, yeah. Now, there are a few points in Lemaise, in Halacha Lemaise, which come out of the fact that this fourth bracha is a drabonon, not a deraisa. Number one, because of this fact, we do something which we never do, at least Ashkenazim never do another time, and that is we finish a bracha, which we ourselves are saying, with omen. Usually you only say omen after someone else's bracha. You never say omen after your own bracha. Here we say, Uvnei Yerushalayim, Yerakadosh Baruch Hu, Amen, Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Hu, Yerushalayim, Amen. Something we never do. Why do we do this over here, say omen after our own bracha? So Shulchan Aruch says, because we want to stress, here is the end of the Eraisa. Here is the end of the Chiyuv de Reise. From now onwards, there's a different level, is the Chiyuv de Rabbanon. And that's why we do this here. Asfardim do this some other time in davening, because there's a rule that, well, according to Asfardim at least, that whenever you finish a longer Inyan, something lengthy, you say Amen. So the Asfardim say Amen 3 times in davening, as far as I know. After Ashkivenu. Yeah? And it's gone after Kvinifah Ashkenazim also. Shem Ram Yisroelad, Omen, after Halil the Omen, and Yishtabach finishes off with Omen. The Nafkuna for us is that there's a halacha like this. If you finish a bracha together with the Chazan, let's say you finish Baruch Sha'omar together with the Chazan, you don't say Omen after him. Because it looks like you're saying Omen after yourself. If you finish another bracha together with Chazan, whatever bracha it is, you don't say Omen after him because it looks like you have to finish a second earlier. But these are the three exceptions. Those three bracha where according to the Shechnoch, you can anyway say Omen after yourself, even though we don't. If you finish the Chazan, you do. So if you finish Yishtabach, Shem Ram Yisrael, Ad, Bamarev, and Halil, either or, with the Chazan, you would say Omen, because what's the worst that's going to happen? It looks like you're saying Omen after yourself, nicht gefährlich. According to the Mechab, you can do that. First of Gesholem, or Shem Ram Yisrael, yeah. You say Omen. Yeah, also, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after the deraisis, even the Ashkenazim say Omen after themselves, because we want to stress that from now on is a drabonon. That's one afkivine. A second point which comes out of this fact that we're switching from deraisis to drabonon is that we're starting again with Boruch. Till now, Noide Lechot doesn't start with Boruch Atah Hashem, and Rachim doesn't start with Boruch Atah Hashem. Why not? The rule is, the Gemara says, that the Boruch has to start with Boruch Atah Hashem, Elikeinu, Melech Olam. And the answer is because it's a continuation, it's a smuch lechavrta of the first bracha. Once the first bracha started, Boruch Atah Hashem, Elikeinu, Hazon Hashem, Kuloi, all the other brachas don't have to start again, Boruch Atah Hashem, they can hook on to that one, just like Shmuel Esrei, we do that every day. The first bracha starts with Boruch Atah Hashem, none of the next ones do, they're all a continuation of the first one. Whereas, HaTeva Meitiv starts again, Baruch Ato Hashem, because it's a different state, different level. It's a Drabanan, it's a new thing, so it starts again, Baruch Ato Hashem, Bechulu. Okay. Meanwhile, this is all from more or less from the Gemara. This is more or less from the Gemara in Broches, who made these various Broches and what are they all about. Now, there are two more points mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says that one has to say Bris V'Teure in Birkas Hamazon. In Neudelecho, we indeed add in Val Brischa Shechasamte V'Sereinu. We have to mention Bris and Val Tiroscha Shelemadetonu. The V'Alecha Zeshali could even be a Diraise. If one skips these words, could be asked to mention again. Not a lady. A lady, Zichah doesn't have to say it. Could be, she doesn't have to say it altogether. How many is yes, but Zichah doesn't have to go again. A man could be, A man Zichah has to bench again if he misses that. But could be Sivnei Deraisa. Even as Drabonon, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to bench again if you skip one of these two, or Bris or Torah. Very important to add those two in. And the obvious question is, where do all these various points come into here? Where does all this come in? So let's start again from the beginning. The first bracha Moshe Rabbeinu made, that's quite an easy one. It's all about the food. The first bracha we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the food, Azana Salim Kuloi. And we daven, may we never be lacking food. That's a very easy one. Very straightforward. Second bracha is about Eretz Yisrael. Very nice. But where does Eretz Yisrael come in? Bishlam, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael or eating Eretz Yisrael like a food, the food comes from the land, so you have to make a bracha thanking God for the land. But we in England are not eating Israeli food, so why are we thanking here for Eretz Yisrael? Why we thank? So the pasuk says you have to thank about soul. You have to mention the pasuk. The chalz of v'rachta shem alkecha alot zatoyim v'haguf v'kasha. Why? Why do we have to talk about the soul? Then bris v'teure, very very important things. Bris and teure. But why now? Where does it come into venching? So the Rashi says in the Gemara that bischus bris and teure we got at the soul. Rashi brings pesukim. The Mishmur brings it that bischus bris Avraham Avinu was promised at the soul if he makes a bris mila. The Holy Eretz Yisrael was given in order to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. So these two led to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but we're back to the first question. Why are we talking about Eretz Yisrael in the first place? Where does all this come in? Tosfos Rosh says in the Gemara that we're already thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's thank about more things. Let's thank about everything that's important. Bris is important. Torah is important. These are two very, very, very important mitzvahs. Very tzedek mitzvahs. Okay, but why now? We're thanking. Others ask, Yishmael Esri, we also say Moedim. We also thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't thank about everything else. We don't throw Bris V'Teure into Yishmael Esri. So why Dafkin Birkas Hamazon? Okay, that's another kasha. Where does Bris V'Teure come in? Where does Eretz Yisrael come in? The reason why, this is the Chagav, just in brackets, the reason why B'schus Mile we got Eretz Yisrael, so I saw some of Farshim explain that Bris is a ois. We know that there are three mitzvahs who are considered a sign of closeness, of connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Three mitzvahs, one is Bris, Bris is called the Ois, and one is Tfilin, Vohil Ois, Aliotcha, and one is Shabbos. Oisi, Veini, these three are Oises. Mashal says in the Gemara that the reason why Shabbos you don't wear Tfilin is because you should always have two oises. Two Eidim, Al Pishnaim, Eidim, Yokim Dover. Well, no, you need two Eidim, you need two witnesses always. So we want two oises always to show our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the week, we have Tfilin and Bris. Every weekday, Shabbos, you have already one, because Shabbos is ois. And you have Bris anyway. So we don't need a third ois, so we don't wear Tfilin on Shabbos. Okay, so two oises. So Bris is an ois. So I saw one of the Mefarshim says that Bris is such a choshe mitzvah, so that's Eretz Yisrael, very connected soul. Eretz Yisrael is the real place of closeness between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the house where Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu live together. So that's why Bris and Eretz Yisrael are connected. But it doesn't explain why we have to mention it here in benching, why do we have to mention Eretz Yisrael in the first place. Okay. Next question is Rachem. Rachem talks about Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, very, very, very important things. But why now? Why here? Where does it come into benching? The next bracha, Teva Meitiv, is even shver, Aruge Beisa. Aruge Beisa is a murdike nes, take vei choshve nes. But why now? Why here? Why dafke this nes? Klal Yisrael knows other nesim. So the Orach HaShulchan says that there's something very unique about this nes. There's something unique. Let's concentrate a minute on the fourth bracha, then we'll come back to all the other questions. The Orach HaShulchan says there's something very unique about the bracha, about the nes of Ateva HaMeitiv. As we said, this nest happened about 50 something years after Chum Bayis Sheni. or 1900 years ago, that the Yidden were chased out of Yerushalayim, and a lot of the Yidden who were left in Etzol, not those who were taken obviously to Rome, into slavery or wherever, have or killed, those Yidden that were left, they gathered together in a big city called Beitar, and they even took a king upon themselves, Bar Kochva, who was a big tzaddik, at least at the beginning, and they revolted against the Romans. They strengthened themselves there for a number of years, and at the end, Lemaise, the Romans overtook the city and killed out the city. They killed hundreds of thousands of Yidden. Hundreds of thousands of Yidden. They killed so many Yidden that they made a wall, a fence around their vineyards, who were miles long, just from the bodies of the Yidden, and the blood was pouring till into the sea. It's terrible things. Okay, still in Chodesh Av. We still talk about such, always talk about such things, but Chodesh Av. It's Derech Agav, it's Mamish, just as a side point, a very interesting thing. Chasam Sofer brings, this is Mamish's side point, Chasam Sofer brings a Yishalmi who says that there are actually 13 months in the year. He says Av is split into two. From Chamisha Osa Ba'av, he's Menachem Av, starts Menachem Av, then the Mazel goes back up to for Kal Yisrael. And Chasam Sofer says it actually could be considered, I don't know Gabba what, but in Hashkafi he says, could we consider the second month? And he says the first part of the month is called Av, the second part of the month is called Menachem. If you ever have time, open up a Chuvas Chasam Sofer, and you notice something fascinating. This is Reb Nissim, this is Reb Nosson Gishtetes Gaonis. He points this out. He says, open up a Chasam Sofer, mix a few pages till you find a Chuvah written in Chodesh Av. You won't have to do more than five pages, I've done it. You won't have to do more than five pages to find one. And every time, look at the date. If the date is the first half of the month, he writes Chodesh Av. Hey, Lechodesh Av, Aleph Lechodesh Av. If the date is the second half of the month, he writes Chof Lechodesh Menachem, not Menachem Av, Menachem. Interesting thing. So the second half could be like a second month ready, but okay, we are still in Av. Let's come back to the Haruga Beta. So Haruga Beta was a terrible tragedy there, that hundreds of thousands of Yidden were killed, and they were lying in the field for many years. Eventually, the Menachem had Rachmanes, and he was mevatel the gzeire. The Romans didn't allow them to be buried. Eventually, the Menachem had Rachmanes and was mevatel the gzeire, and they were allowed to be buried. And the Chachamim made a bracha on this double nest that they were allowed to be buried, and they didn't decompose, which is a tremendous nest. So, as the Aruch HaShulchan, there's something very unique in this nest, and that is, even after the Chub, even b'shas hester ponim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is not so happy with Kal Yisrael, even then he looks after them, he cares for them, and he makes nisim for them. And Chazal felt this is an important point, especially since they knew Kal Yisrael are entering a very long golus. Yeah, they're entering the golus which we are still in. So they felt they want to add this brochen to benching, that he should every single day remind himself, even now, even here in Hester Ponim in Golus, the Benjamin still looks after Kal Yisrael, and he cares for them, he makes nisim for them. And that's why this nest was chosen to put into Miksamozen. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's Mahalech. Okay, good. Doesn't answer the other kashes. Why does where does that Sol and Yishlaim come in? In order to answer all the other questions, and this last one also, where does the Teva Metiv come in? I heard once a Mahalech from a Yid called Rav Avraham Erlanger. He wrote the Sefer, the Sefer from Birkas Avraham. I used to go to his Vadim Etzol. He said like this, a very, very nice Mahalech. He said like this. In benching, we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only for the food, but for everything that brought us this food. For every cause, for every sivur mesiver, for everything that brought this food to us here and now. So the first bracha is obviously thanking for the food itself. We're thanking for the mazon, that's poshet. The second bracha is Etz Yisrael. So he brought a Rashi, which is in last week's parsha, maybe because it's a holiday parsha, it's not such a well-known Rashi, it's towards the end of a long parsha, but it's a fascinating Rashi. Rashi speaks about the Pasuk there who praises Etz Yisrael. The Pasuk says about Etz Yisrael, Eretz asher Hashem lekecho doyresh oiso. Etz Yisrael is a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu inquires about constantly. Tomid ein Hashem lekecho vo, Hashem's eyes are constantly on it. Mereishis Hashem, the Pasuk goes on about the speciality, the chashivas of Etz Yisrael. The Hashem looks after it, cares for it. They say that Rav Dessler, when he came to Etz Yisrael, I think it's good in the state about also, when he came to Etz Yisrael the first time, or one of the times, he said afterwards that the first night he was in Etz Yisrael, it became clear to him, he understood certain concepts, certain hashkafetike points, which he was struggling with for years in Chutz Loretz. The first night Etz Yisrael, he understood it. Avir that soul machkim, Eretz, it's a special land, Eretz Asher Hashem Lekecho, Dorei Shoyso, Hashem is very close to it, inquires about it, he looks over it. Rashi asks a kasha on that pasuk. This is in last week's parsha, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Rashi asks a kasha. What do you mean? Etzol is a land that Hakadosh Baruch Hu inquires about, and England that Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't inquire about, and America doesn't inquire about. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't inquire about England for one half a second, the whole of England would disintegrate into nothing on the spot. Of course, he looks after England for every second, after every country in the world. Balikol Arotzes Hudorish asks Rashi. Says Rashi, Elo. It's as if he only inquires about his soul, explains Rashi. Through the inquiring, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an Etzisrael, Dorish es kol ha'arotzois imo. The way the Mefarshim explain it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after and inquires about Etzisrael. Once he's busy with Etzisrael, through Etzisrael he inquires. Inquiring obviously means he looks after all the other countries. Another language, Mefarshim put it, the shefa which we get in Chutz Lo'etz, the bounty, the good things we get in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Lo'etz, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes through Eretz Yisrael. Derech Oysa Drisha, Al Yidei Oysa Drisha Dorshu, through the inquiring, through the shefa of Eretz Yisrael, we get shefa. Our shefa comes through Eretz Yisrael. And if so, our piece of bread, which we just ate now, we have to thank Eretz Yisrael. We have to thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, for Eretz Yisrael, because through Eretz Yisrael we got. If not for Eretz Yisrael, we wouldn't have had this piece of bread. All the shefa we have here comes through Eretz Yisrael. That's why in the second bracha we thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael, because this is the cause for our bread. The third bracha is Yerushalayim. What's the holiest place in Eretz Yisrael? If the shefa comes through Eretz Yisrael, through where in Eretz Yisrael? Obviously, through Yerushalayim. And through where in Yerushalayim is obviously through the Beis Hamikdash. So we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yerushalayim Beis Hamikdash, because this piece of bread we just ate, we realize that it comes through Yerushalayim Beis Hamikdash, which is Eretz Yisrael. So we thank for those, they're the cause for our bread. Before we move on to the fourth bracha, there's a very interesting shtickle in the Siddur Yavetz. The Siddur Yavetz asks about the third bracha. He said, there's something very interesting here. He says, Rachem Hashem Elikeinu al Yisrael Amecho, please have Rachmones on Yisrael, on Yerushalayim, ועל הבייס הגודל והקודש. Which bias? Which bias? Please have Rachmones on Kodesh Baruch Hu on your bias. Which bias? There is no bias. Don't tell me, he says, it means build the bias. That doesn't sound like it. Please have Rachmones on your house. Which house? The house is not standing anymore. Please rebuild your house. Uvnei Yerushalayim, rebuild it. Even if Yerushalayim is Rosh Nehovei, okay, we'll come back soon. But what does it mean in language, in dikduk? Rachem Hashem Elikenes al Abayis HaGodel. Usually we think it means, please rebuild the house. It doesn't sound like it. There's other ways of saying, please rebuild the house. Uvnei Yerushalayim. But what does it mean? Rachem, have Rachmanos on your house. The house is not here. Says the Yavetz, that there's a big kashi. He puts the kashi very strong. It looks very odd. It looks kamat. Doesn't make sense to say such thing. Have a chumunas in your house is not here. She says it's obvious and clear that what this bracha means is that just like there is or there was a bayis shelmato, a besamigdosh shelmato, there still is a besamigdosh shelmalo. Just like we know Chazal did Yerushalayim shelmalo, there's a besamigdosh shelmalo, and that is still standing. There's a besamigdosh up there in Shemayim, which is still standing. It's the besamigdosh below, which corresponds to the besamigdosh above. This is Ruch Nizdiki concepts. There is something which is called the besamigdosh in Shemayim, through which the Shef and the Kedusha of the besamigdosh shelmato came, or both ways. And that besamigdosh shelmalo is still standing. Rachem Hashem Elikeinu, have rachmonos on your house in Shemayim, which is standing. How? By building the second half of it. It's lacking a part. It's lacking the Beis HaMikdash Shamato, which is obviously part of it, or part of the Beis HaMikdash Shamalo. So have Rachmanis in your Beis HaMikdash Shamalo. Machzvis Dovid is something which you could say exists, at least in concept. There is some Machzvis Dovid, there's just none of the people around. Maybe there are, I don't know. But it's something which exists. The Ba'is is a physical building of stone, which is not around. Machzvis Dovid has to mean a physical king or a concept that the kingdom belongs to Dovid. Are they today? Maybe they are today, even people who are direct descendants. Yeah. Yeah. We don't know who they are. Okay. I once said as a bocher by Yerushalayim Yid, and he said a very, very nice idea. We're coming up to Yontif soon. He said like this, we say Yontif in Musaf, Bnei Beis Cho Kvatchilo, build up your house like it used to be. V'choinen mikdashcho al mechoinoi. And be, v'choinen is a fix, your house. Establish, it's more fix. No? al mechon on its place, put it on its place. Harene bevinyonoi, show us its building, its rebuilding, v'samcheinu v'sikune. Vite v'dav language, b'nei beischo, v'choni mikdoshcho. It's a bit of a language. He said it could be this double language is referring one to the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo, one to the Beis Hamikdash Shamatan. He said it fits very well in the words. Bnei Beis Cho Kivat Chilo. Build up your house. This is the Beis Hamikdash Shamatan, which is destroyed. Rebuild it as it was. V'choinen Mikdash Cho Al Mechoinen. He brought a Chasu Sefer, I think it was, who says that the Beis Hamikdash Shamato could only be destroyed if the Beis Hamikdash Shamato, when the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo was a bit removed. As long as the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo was just above, which means it was connected and fully fitting with the Beis Hamikdash Shamato, the Goyim would not be able to have a shlita on the Beis Hamikdash Shamato. First, the Chasam Sofer says, the Beis Hamikdash removed, so to speak, removed the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo, it's still there, but it's moved out of its place. Then, when it doesn't fit perfectly exactly anymore, when things are not in line anymore, then the Beis Hamikdash Shamato could be destroyed. So the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo is still standing, it's just not in place. V'choinen Mikdoshcho, re-affix your Mikdosh al Mechoinen on its place. It doesn't need rebuilding. B'nei Beischo, the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo is building. The Beis Hamikdash Shamalo only needs fixing a place. Hareinu b'vinyonoi, let us see, refers to the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo, which we see. Let us see the building, that needs building. Samcheinu b'sikunoi, tikun doesn't mean making new. Tikun means repairing. It's there, it just needs repairing. So that's going to the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo, is there, it just needs repairing on its place. We won't see that. Hareinu, seeing goes on Beis Hamikdash Shamato. Vinyonoi. Samcheinu, this we'll be happy about, we'll know it's done, we won't see it. So that's with Samcheinu v'sikunoi. That's an interesting pshat and davening. Okay, but coming back to here, says the Yavetz Rachim, no, refers to Shalayim Beis Hamikdash, and that could be referring to the Beis Hamikdash Shamalo. But why do we thank for this? So we worked out because through the Yerushalayim, through Etzrol, Yerushalayim Beis Hamikdash, we got our food. Let's come now to the last bracha, the fourth bracha. The fourth bracha is Hatov Amet Varuge Beita. And the question was, where does this come in? He said a very nice thing. After eating, a person could think to himself that the food is what gave me energy, the food is what gives me life. And that's a mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us once in history, in a very powerful way, that it's not bread which gives life, it's the Dvar Hashem. These Varuge Beita were lying in the fields, I don't know for how long, I've actually been looking for years for how long. I once heard 15 years, others say 7 years, I haven't seen it clean inside, 7 years. So for 7 years they were lying in the open, no eating, no drinking, obviously they weren't alive. And they did not disintegrate. They did not fall apart. Which shows us, they weren't alive, but they didn't fall apart, which shows us it's not the food which keeps the body whole. A person thinks, the food is what keeps me whole. If not for the food, a person will die, disintegrate. No, they stayed whole for 7 years without any food, which shows us that kiloi al alechem levado yichye odom. It's not the bread that gives life. Kiim al kol dvar Hashem. Kiim al motzi Hashem is the dvar Hashem. Is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rotzen Hashem, which gives life or sustainment. They weren't alive, but they didn't fall apart. So it's the Dvar Hashem which decides if a person should live, if a person should fall apart or not. And that Haruge Beisar shows us. So this is the main source of our food, so what our food is all about. So when we thank about a piece of bread, we thank the version for the bread. We thank for the Solish lamb through which the bread came. But it's not the bread. One shouldn't think at the end of the day it's not the bread which gives us life, it's the Dvar Hashem. Now, Ruge Besar showed us that is the Dvar Hashem, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, then without bread a person will live. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it with bread, a person will not live. You put bread into a car, it won't work. Bread doesn't work for everything. It's the Dvar Hashem in the bread which gives life to a person. That's the point of the fourth bracha. Okay, this is a bit the four brachas. We have still a few minutes. Let's move on to the continuation of benching. The hemshcha of benching is the horachmans. The horachmans is not anymore a chiv, even with the rabbanon. The horachmans was added by the rishonim, about 1,000 years ago. And that's why, if one needs to, one can already talk in the horachmans. One shouldn't chatrile, when Yishchai says one shouldn't chatrile, one should zichanot talk, zichanot if he's benching ala kois, mezum zichanot, but even about it, the chatrile not. But if one needs to, one can talk, one can zichanot say omen and some years, but even talk if one needs to, by the horachmans, one can do that, because it's not anymore chiv drabonon, it's a minig from the rishonim. Why did the rishonim add this? Why? Why did they add this? The tour in Shulchanoruch, the tour says a very interesting point. He says that we have just been mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa. after doing, especially such a choshev mitzvah, but any mitzvah, after doing a mitzvah deiraisa, is a eis rotzen. It's a very special time. One can daven and ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he's more likely to answer, because it's a special time now. You've just made a mitzvah deiraisa, so the Rishonim said, let's chaparan, and still some rachman zin. We just created the eis rotzen by benching, so let's ask, let's ask for the Golas Hashchina, let's ask for ourselves, we found a sin of a chavod, all the tefillahs we ask are because we just created the Eis Rotzen. We find this some other times, that after doing a mitzvah, the Eis Rotzen, one of the most famous ones is Hadlokas Neiris. After mother lights Hadlokas Neiris, a woman lights Hadlokas Neiris, then a lot of mitzvahs will daven for the children, because it's Eis Rotzen. They've just been mekayim a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah d'rabanan, okay? But it's Eis Rotzen, after doing a mitzvah, is a Eis Rotzen. I once read a story about Remechel Yude Lefkovich, that someone wanted to discuss something with him, besides being one of the Gedolim, was a very big pikeach, people used to a lot discuss with him, in chinuch things especially. And Meid went up to him and asked him, can I make an appointment, do you have some time for me? And he was thinking, it's very hard to find the time. So he said, you know what? At Hadlokas Neiris time, you know, just when Shabbos is coming in, it's a good time, come to the house, don't even knock on the door, it's just my wife and myself, who's an elderly already, so just come into the house and then I'll make some time. So he came to Remech Liude's house, at Hadlokas Neiris time, and he walks in and he sees Remech Liude and his Rebbetzin standing by the lecht, and they're both davening. They're davening by the lecht. I think he said he waited 1:15, 20 minutes, till they finished davening. Both, him also, I think it's only for the ladies. He was also davening there. So that's Eis Rotzen after doing a mitzvah. Another example is tzedakah. People have the minhag to give, some people have the minhag to give tzedakah before davening, because by doing the mitzvah of tzedakah, you're creating Eis Rotzen. Interesting idea. By doing the mitzvah of tzedakah, you have created Eis Rotzen, so now is a good time to daven. But that's the same idea here in benching. By having just benched, we've created the Eis Rotzen, so we chaper on the horachmons over there. That goes till the end of benching. There's a shaila in the achronim, if you benching on a kois, when is the right time to put down the kois? Some say after alechasrei doch hashulchan writes, the yavet says that there is someone who says my father used to do it. He's very very upset about this. He says someone writes my father used to do this, and he says ani yedea voeid. He says I saw it. It's not so. He used to hold the kois till after Bar Piagof. And Rav also says if one can, one should hold the kois after Bar Piagof. If it's been hogim already in this, whoever one does is fine. The Chashuch says till alechasrei. But Rav also says if one can, there is an idea of holding it till after Bar Piagof. That's the whole benching. So this is more or less the structure and some of the halachas of benching. Come to all pshatim, wherever the pshatim are going to be, this is zikr that benching is a big chizuk in emunah. Just spend a minute on this. Rav Shimon Shmuel Hirsch says that the idea of the fourth bracha, why do you mention Aruge Beisar here, is because Kal Yisrael, actually there's a certain lesson there which was a slight mistake, he says. The Yidden there, or some Yidden there, thought that with their might, with their strength, they'll be able to overcome the Romans. And he says, well, it's a little keichiv etzim yodi. And that's why they were killed out, that's why they didn't win, they lost. So he says, this teaches us that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after us, don't rely on your own strength, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. All the pshatim, wherever it's going to be, the mon, etzol, yishlam, v'samigdosh, ruge beta, the nisim, it all teaches us one point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything, and he's the one who gives us life. So it's all a point of emunah, gives us a bit of an understanding why Vikas Hamozen is such a great bracha, why it's such a zgule, the chinuch writes, Mishbu brings it, that same Vikas Hamozen v'kavone is a zgule for panosim. Same Vikas Hamozen v'kavone, kol azor v'Vikas Hamozen, someone is careful, same Vikas Hamozen properly, mezenoisov, metzuin loy v'kavod, kol yomov, v'lev panosim v'kavod, his whole life, it's a zgule for panosim, people are often looking for different zgules, this is a zgule from the Rishonim already, same Vikas Hamozen properly, it's a because it's all a chizuk in emunah. The Chassid Sofer, they say a story that the Chassid Sofer had a Talmid who used to bring him in, when he used to learn through the nights, they used to bring him in a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. And once he did that, and he saw that the Chassid Sofer hardly touched the cake. The coffee, he drank the cake, he touched a little tiny bit. So the Talmud thought to himself, you know, what a pity for the cake. He had rachmanis, let me have some rachmanis on the cake. And he took it quietly and he ate it up. Chassid Sofer didn't notice. And when he finished learning, Chassid Sofer, like, looks around, and he sees that the plate is empty, so he calls over the Talmud and he says, what happened to the cake? Where's the cake gone? So the Talmud says, no, the Rebbe ate it. He was a bit embarrassed. So the Chassid says, look, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know. I don't remember whether I ate the cake or not. One thing I do know, I didn't bench. That I would remember. He says, for us, we often remember what we ate. We're not sure whether we benched. But him, he didn't know whether he ate or didn't eat. One thing he didn't know, because Alamichio I did not make. So that's because some reason. It wasn't meant to be like, Mr. Kelp, should always be able to make it because I wasn't the right way. Get the proper chizuk out of it.
Doing that just before someone asked, and when you revived him, he knew exactly where he was up to. It's a few shame. As soon as he was up there.